So I'm the closer between you and your questions for everyone. So I mainly wanted to frame my comments around some pictures because I think it illustrates how our local foundation does its work. And I think just thinking about the comments of Linda, Joe, and David, I would agree with David that foundations really instigate change. And there's a little saying that we've heard among us, which is if you've met one foundation, you've met one foundation, because we all do things so singularly. But I think in that spirit of change, you will see that we actually do a lot of things the same now, because the themes are starting to really resonate, and we can go along the table. Some of the pre-talk around here was, oh, we're doing that too. Oh, we've done that too, and we're planning to do that. And I think you'll see a lot more alignment and a lot more synergy than maybe 20 years ago when everyone wanted to put their name on a building and put their mark on an initiative, and no one wanted to come together and say, I belong to the Convergence Partnership. And so I think that's really been, from my perspective, something that as a local foundation, you approach that collaboratively and humbly instead of with a lot of ego. And I think that's been a shift too. So I want to just quickly walk you through who is the Health Trust, what do we do, and why does it fit into this framework of health equity? Go to So I like pictures. These are some AmeriCorps partners that work at the Health Trust. Our CEO is in the orange tie because our organization colors are orange, so he basically goes to Banana Republic and buys everything orange. And then at our staff luncheon, some social workers and community health workers. So the Health Trust is a public benefit organization, and we really have the privilege of having lots of tools in the toolbox. We have an endowment through which we make grants. We run programs and services, one of the largest Meals on Wheels programs in the county of Santa Clara. And we engage in advocacy, and one big project is to get community water fluoridation. San Jose is one of the largest cities in the nation that does not have fluoride in its water. And then we also do policy advocacy work and lead collaboratives and participate in collaboratives. So we have all these tools to do our work. And I think sometimes that is something that can work toward us, and sometimes that then becomes like, well, then what are you all aiming for? And I think then we rely on really big themes like our mission, and we really want to advance wellness for all in Silicon Valley, California. A couple years ago, in 2008, we launched three initiatives, one of which is named the Healthy Living Initiative, and it's the aim of the initiative is to reduce obesity by creating changes in policies and the environment to increase access to physical activity and healthy food. So in 2008, we moved from funding a lot of direct services and health care to having this ideal about what the Healthy Living Initiative was going to be and how to fund policy and environmental change. The next year, we were fortunate enough to receive a grant from the Convergence Partnership, an Innovation Fund grant, and it allowed us to do several things because we really had a very tiny emerging portfolio of grants, maybe about 8 grants. It gave us matching funds to make bigger, larger, longer grants. It prompted us to take our equity frame and really apply it to place, to neighborhoods. And we really pushed ourselves on doing multi-field approach, and that meant, gee, we have a whole bunch of friends in the healthcare area, but I have no idea who's in the planning department. And I don't have a relationship where I can call them up and say, hey, Michael, you know what? When's it going up to council? And we want to make sure everybody turns out, right, to promote the health elements in general plan. And then I think the third is that we are now really firmly aligned with state and national efforts. We see our work and their work, and hopefully they can see their work in our work. And to us, that's being part of something bigger. Everyone knows you can't do it by yourself, and foundations are very victim to that, sometimes of wanting to do a lot by themselves. So I think this really becomes that great platform and forum is efforts like the National Convergence Partnership, and there's even a California Convergence Partnership through which we will exchange practices and lessons. So what's happened? I think what I want to do is talk to you about change on three levels. What has changed at the foundation level through this work? What's changed at the grantee level? So people who receive a grant, grantees, we're really working with them to say, so how are you going to change policy and change the environments in which you work? And that's a really hard question to answer sometimes if you have been previously a direct service provider, but understand what are all the root causes that get people in the door every day, you know? So it might be this black eye, but it's really domestic violence, right? So I think that has been a real learning experience on both parts. And I think the third change, and that's where I have a whole bunch of pictures, is then what do people see in the community? Not just us in our final report saying, okay, what'd you do with the grant money, but what does, when the community goes out and walks around, what's different and what contributed? And I don't think one grant changes things in the community. It contributes to momentum that they can take ownership of, they can be proud of, and they can see that didn't look like that 3 years ago, right? So moving to what changed with us. So we're the Health Trust, so that's our acronym, THT. So our portfolio has definitely increased and diversified, and it's come at a time when actually we reduced our total grant making due to the market drop, but we increased our investment in Healthy People, Healthy Places, and the size of the grants. We have new multi-field partnerships, and I'm telling you, 3 years ago, we were not calling the planning department. We did not call up our Farmers Market Association and say, hey, how's that project with the community clinics going? Because they're doing a project called VeggieRx. They're writing prescriptions for their clients to go to the farmers market and redeem the voucher and get some healthy, fresh produce into their diet, right? So, and then we get a call from a group called Greenbelt Alliance, which they're very much about, you know, from the environmental perspective, but they are pushing the agenda of health language into land use planning like cities' general plans. So our big advocate and partner there. And I think the biggest thing is that it's given us a platform to really have health in all policies, but do it in a way where it's mutually beneficial, not just take on our agenda, but we have to understand your agenda as well. And that means learning their language, and I never knew what triggers were in planning language, and it's really it's a learning opportunity. I think that the next one around increased knowledge, we did two very exciting things. We commissioned two pieces of two reports, and one was done by an Oakland-based group called Public Health Policy and Law, and they did a study of all the healthy food resources in our county, and that includes farmers markets, school gardens, community gardens, and CSAs, community supported ag. And it was in order to map the deserts and map where there were resources, where there weren't. And then it allowed us to release a request for proposal and make grants in areas that did not have healthy food resources. So we shared that finding with a lot of other folks, and Public Health Law and Policy was able to take that data and do their work statewide and nationally. The newest study that we funded that we're very excited about is the group that's giving technical assistance to the green carts in New York City. It's mobile produce vending, and it's offering licenses, like a hot dog license, but just for fresh produce and only in designated food deserts defined by public health. And the technical assistance group, Cart Resources, is going to look at Santa Clara County and take a look at what are the viable options to do mobile produce vending in Santa Clara County, because we are not New York City. And we're not dense like it, we don't have nodes like it, but there are so many opportunities to create the community economic development as well as get the food out there. And we have a lot of local production that we can connect to that channel supply. So those are two things that we can then take the data and go out there and talk to our partners and say, hey, let's partner on this. We have some data. Let's either make a grant or start a project or come together in a collaborative. The fourth area is that we've been getting other funders excited. So recently, a lot of people in the food area particularly are very grassroots organizations, and they want to do all this work, but man, they're just stretched, and there's a lot of organizational capacity needs. So the Packer Foundation has joined us, and we are going to do a joint organizational capacity grant-making program. So it was really a great, and that was just, and I have to tell you, it is being recommended, but not yet confirmed. So that's breaking news. So our boards were all meeting this month in particular. And I think last is just how we aligned, as I said, with state and national partnerships. And one exciting piece there is we made a grant to a group to evaluate our grant making, and it's the Food Trust that's actually doing the Fresh Foods financing in Pennsylvania that Amanda mentioned earlier. So let's get to some fun pictures. First, the changes in grantees. I'll go really quickly because I think there were examples mentioned earlier. One grantee, they were a youth development organization. They developed great capacity, and they used the youth of their organization to do park restoration. And so they wanted to get rid of all the negative behaviors, bring in positive behaviors, and even got the city to take their umbrella liability policy, insurance policy, to cover all the new, you know, movies in the park, music on Fridays. But who was going to pay for that liability, right? And the city decided to ante up. The Early Childhood Commission, which in California we call First Five, it's funded by tobacco funds, did a multi-layered policy system change around implementing kind of a on-paper wellness policy to actually doing it, and then expecting all their grantees to do it. And now they're saying, we're going to look at all child development centers and see what their needs are to have healthy organizations. So again, the places you play, work, learn, study, pray, these are all the places we want to create healthy environments. So changes in the communities. This joint use agreement just was fantastic, and it was a $12,000 investment. So it was a grant to a grassroots organization called the Oaxacan Project, and it's based in San Benito County, and it's Jardín de los Niños. And here you see on the right side an old Christmas tree farm owned by a private guy, and on the left side a new community garden. And the Christmas tree farmer's like, you know, a bunch of homeless people were coming in, I can't watch over my land, and I'm not using it as a Christmas tree farm, but there's still a few trees out there. So he agreed at no cost to offer it to a group of 25 families, most of them immigrants from the state of Oaxaca, Mexico, to do a community farm. 25 families come out. The incredible thing is that they all farm as their full-time job during the day. And this is what they do after work. And they eat the results of this, right? So it's amazing. And then this is the community farm side, and that's the house that sells them water. So it's another private guy that says, yeah, you can hook up to my hose and I'll sell you water, right? And this is one of the farmers, and she's wearing her traditional traje from Oaxaca. And she's picking a plant called papalo. So this allowed them to grow what was culturally interesting nostalgic even, because they couldn't get it here. Someone actually brought the seeds over. Don't tell anyone from the USDA. It's just like a watercress, and it's and it grew really well, and they grew traditional maize, and they grew a lot of broccoli and cauliflower and tomatoes and chiles. But this was a plant that then it caught wind that, hey, someone's growing papalo. I want papalo. And it could potentially be a revenue-generating opportunity for them in order to pay for the water, ongoing water. So unfortunately, our CEO, who is grandmother is Oaxacan, can't stand papalo. So, of course, after my site visit, I came back, hey, I brought you a whole bunch. And he goes, oh, my God, get that out of here. Okay, another scenario. So that was in a rural small grant. This is something that we felt had a lot of a bigger investment, but had a lot of big impact potential. So this was resident-led organizing and advocacy to influence general plans in regional transportation. So for I think there was a gentleman here earlier who was with the Rail to Trail Conservancy. This is an abandoned railroad, and they're converting it. A community group is converting it to trails. And it's a long process, takes a long time to get funded. And for those who want to explain what Pracademic, is that what someone's for? Right? So this is a partnership between San Jose State University, the surrounding neighborhoods, so three neighborhood associations, and the city of San Jose. And they call COM University, because it's Community University, right, city. And they started a working group to do rail-to-trail conversion. And they would meet monthly. And someone said, let's meet at the trail. Why are we meeting indoors? So they turned it into a half-meeting, half-cleanup day. And I think that's when it really gelled that they had ownership, because they really picked up all the trash and realized this is going to be a fabulous trail. This is a meeting where people were actually voting on a transportation node. Our public transit is called BART. And there's a new BART station being planned in San Jose at the Alum Rock neighborhood. And people wanted to vote on the plans. People came out and reviewed proposed plans. And here is, I think, the neatest feature of some of our projects is youth involvement. So these are teenagers from San Jose High School looking at a village concept around that BART station. And what they wanted was a plaza. They wanted a place to hang out and meet. And there's a kind of anchor church, but it's really kind of dead land in front of it. People just kind of come and go. But it was to try and thread together the church where people went normally, but then there's some unused land, and then this new planned transportation. And even though the guy on the right looks like he's not very happy because his girlfriend probably dragged him there, but the others seem very engaged. So. And that's what you get. You get a mixed bag. You get people who, you know, this is really cool, and they get the bug, and other people are still going, you know, will my vote count? You know, what's this all about? And I think you have to really acknowledge that communities will have varying degrees of investment and passion around something, right? So I'll end on this slide, and we can go to questions.